Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this evening. And Lord, we declare your will be done tonight in each and every person's life. Lord, not one person leaves tonight without having their need met. We thank you, you are a God that meets every need. And we thank you, Lord, right now for your Holy Spirit. And that every word that proceeds tonight will be by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. When I was about 2 weeks old in the Lord, which was quite a while ago, and I had gotten saved and got baptized in the Holy Spirit and evidence of tongues and so forth, I was sitting in the living room and I had a Bible in my hand. And I started to open the Bible, and I heard the voice of the Lord. And it was kind of not like the prompting inside. It was kind of the authoritative voice of God where you kind of look around. Who's talking? And he said to me, that book you're holding in your hand, this is Jesus. What? This is Jesus you're holding in your hand. And, you know, I'm a baby in the Lord. I'm hearing something I never heard before. I grew up Catholic. Praise God, Catholic Church gives you a knowledge of God and gives you a knowledge of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? And I praise God for that. But we had a big Bible. One of those big ones. Anybody ever have those? Big one. It sits there. It gets the dust on it. You really don't know what it's for other than decorative. And we had the big one. And so that was my thought, my mentality. The Bible was just this big book that sat there to say we had one. I had no knowledge of what it was for, really. And he said to me, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. And he showed me scripture, scripture, scripture. John 6:63. My words are spirit and life. Well, it didn't take a lightning fast mind to realize Jesus' words are in here. So I immediately realized that because Jesus' words are in there and his words are spirit and life, these words are spirit and life. Amen? Not hard to figure that out. Then I had another verse of scripture. Hebrews. Jesus is in the book. Only it used the word volume. Like the volume of a set of books. Jesus is in the book. Jesus is in the book. Jesus is in the book. And I got very excited. Because once I believed it, what the Lord told me, it was completely different when I began to read the book than ever before. And what I came to find out as the year went on and the next year, I came to realize that People have a different belief of this book than other people. Paul said in Thessalonians, he said, the reason why you've grown, the reason why your faith is so strong, Thessalonica, is because when we came to you, you received what we brought to you. You have to understand this, please. The early church did not proceed forward without Scripture. It was just the Scripture they had was the Old Testament. Amen. It wasn't they got everything from the Holy Spirit and they had no Scripture. If you read the letters of Paul, he's referring to Scripture all the time. Psalms, Deuteronomy. What was the difference? The Holy Spirit had come, and the Holy Spirit began to show Paul and others in the Scripture Jesus. Isaiah, they had Isaiah. They had the Scripture that I just read to you. Paul at the very end says, he writes the letter to Timothy, says, when you come, bring my coat, bring this, but make sure you bring the parchments. When he went for 2 years out into the desert, he wasn't out there in the desert just kind of floating around for a couple of years. He was out in the desert with those scriptures that he knew so well, allowing the Holy Spirit to give him revelation in those scriptures of Jesus and what he had done. On the day of Pentecost, what did Peter say? This is not what the prophet Joel said. What was he using? Scripture. One of the main ministries, top ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to lead us and guide us into truth. And Jesus said, my word is truth. Can you see that? Jesus faced Satan, first man to confront Satan. Because you have to remember, Jesus emptied himself of all his divinity. And he was as a man. Everything that Jesus had, we have. And he confronted Satan after 40 days of fasting. First man to ever confront Satan as a man. Man facing the devil. And this is important to understand. Jesus had just come from the River Jordan. They had just heard God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He faces Satan. Satan says, if you're the Son of God, turn this. What was he doing? Wanting to take that word from him. Can you imagine that? Facing up to Jesus trying to take the word. He didn't know any better. But Jesus never said anything to him other than it is written. So what was he quoting from? He wasn't quoting from the New Testament. It hadn't been written yet. He was quoting from Deuteronomy. He was quoting from the Old Testament scripture to defeat the enemy. Three times. Bam, bam, bam. He left for a better time. Folks, all you need when dealing with the enemy, it is written. It is written. It is written. And let the word do the job. Amen? See, when you understand, Jesus is in the book, the power's there. The power is in the words that he spoke. Amen? So, ask yourself a question. What do I really believe about this? Is it just a book? Is it a book about Jesus? Is it man? Paul said to Thessalonica, we came to you with the scripture, and we opened it up to you, and you received it as the word of God, not the word of man. And so many read this and they think, It's the word of man. Because man, God used man to write it down. This is major when it comes to witnessing and sharing with unsaved people. Oh, the Bible says. Really? So? Now for us, and for me specifically, I said to the Lord, I believe it. I'll spend the rest of my life to know this. I will spend the top priority in my life is to know this word. And then another scripture came, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Amen? The Word was God. And as I went along, it wasn't very difficult then to understand Jesus is in the book. Can I say one thing to you? See, this is all free. A lot of praying that's done, blessed saints, my heart goes out. It does. But a lot of praying that goes on to God, the answer's already in here. The wisdom's already here that will take care of your problem. And I found over time how my prayers changed into just fellowshipping with the Lord, spending time with the Lord, praising God, and a lot less asking Him how to take care of this and that, because it was already here. Amen? It's already here. The wisdom, Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. This is Jesus. Amen? And I've had people over the years come to me, Pastor John, I've fasted, I prayed, it's been 10 days, I'm asking the Lord, whatever it is. I said, well, what's the problem? You tell me the problem, I open up scripture and read it to them. Here, do this. Oh, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. They went 10 days. No answer. Jesus. It will be very difficult for anybody to come into an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, to know Him, to know the Father. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Without this. Now, what I figured out, and Jesus gave me this wisdom, He said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Well, I don't believe that. That is your problem. Because that is the truth. And once I had taken that and said, this is the Word of God. This is Jesus. When I saw something and I read that, it's true. No matter what I thought and no matter what I felt. It is amazing how quick things get squared away. So I'm in Romans 6:14, and here I read this. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. You know my response? I'm like 2 months old in the Lord here, baby. Okay, I'm under grace. I didn't even know what it meant, but I believed it. Remember when Jesus said, you should come as a little child? We don't necessarily have to know what it means or understand it thoroughly to believe it. My children, when they were 5, 6, 7 years old, they believed me and they didn't understand it. But it caused them to obey in a particular way. Amen? Now, when it comes to healing, you say, well, we're here for the healing. Yes, glory to God. I read John 3:2, and it said, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God, it's your desire above everything. So what I began to learn early on, it wasn't about God making Michael to serve him. That was not God's highest desire, was it? The highest desire that God had is that Michael prosper and be in health even as his soul prospers, above serving him. Amen? Well, what happens when we make a priority out of it? Now we turn around and go, the most important thing to me is to do for God, do for God, do for God. We just sung a song. There's nothing we can do for him. He doesn't need it. Do you believe it? Amen? And so we get under this heavy burden that we've got to toe the line and we've got to do this and we have to do that. You know what I learned about that grace thing later? I learned this. Anytime that I do something for God that I have to, rather than I want to, the have to is the law. The want to is grace. Sin shall not have any dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. So I learned I'm not under the have to. I'm under the want to. I want to give. I want to be with the brothers and sisters. And whenever I felt the want to leaving, I'd say, uh-oh, something's not right here. Huh? Something's not right here. See, Priscilla and I are both in the same category. I only want to share with you what God has done in and through me, not what God's done for somebody else. Because you and I need to understand one thing. We need to prove the word in our own heart. So it can't be taken. It's got to work for you. It's got to happen for you. You have to be able to say, man, I got that word. See, it works for me. I know the want to, and I know the have to. And my heart goes out to so many children of God because they're running around with the have to. I have to go. I have to do it. Why? Why? Well, what does this have to do with healing? Everything. You see, the have to means that in my heart, I'm trying to earn from God. I'm trying to deserve it. When you try to earn it, and you deserve it, it's not grace. Because grace can't be earned. Well, what is grace? It's the favor of God. It's everything that God is at our disposal for our need. One reason that the body of Christ is not being healed and walking in health is that they're trying to earn it. I got to be good enough. Worse, they put their own stuff in front of God and they go, hey, Lord, I'm an usher. I ushered every week. What's the problem? How come I'm not healed? Because ushering don't get you healed. I read the word every day. I read the Bible every day. I pray every day. I go to church all the time. I'm even really nice to my neighbor. So God, what's the problem? None of that gets you healed. People come up to me and ask for prayer, healing line. You know the first thing comes out of their mouth? I don't understand why I'm not healed. I this, I that, blah, 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 blah. I do. I understand why you're not healed. Do you remember? Now, this is the beauty of reading the Word. This is Jesus. Do you remember the guy that came, the two people came to Jesus, and one of them said, Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like that guy. And Jesus said, which one was justified? Now, what justified means is this. That's God saying, you who have that sickness and disease, go free.
Amen.
Not guilty. Bam! Go free now. The guy that said, oh, I give tithes, I do this, I do that, do that, he ain't free. When I have people who understand the grace of God, healing happens all over the place. Well, I thought I had to have a lot of faith. Well, how much do you have to have? And who judges that? Do you know that Jesus really heals for one reason? He loves us. And His mercy. I have to have perfect. I don't have enough faith. Don't let anybody ever tell you that. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. To each one, God has given a measure of faith. You have it. You have it. Use it. You have it. You have it. Every one of you. And how many of you are born again? Raise your hand. All right. I don't have to make an altar call for salvation. How many are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now we might make a call for that. Be endued with power from on high to be a witness. Amen. So, all of you, including those that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's not a requirement for the measure of faith. Amen. You have enough faith that God deposited in you when you were saved, when you received Jesus, to meet every need you'll ever have in your entire life. Amen? Absolutely. No question. Now, turn to Acts 10:38, those that have a Bible. Those that don't, you can look on with somebody else. Well, why do I do that? Well, let me give you another little prescription for healing. Proverbs chapter 4. Put the word in your eyes. Put the word in your mouth. Keep the word in the midst of your heart. For it is healing to all your flesh. It in and of itself has the power to heal you without our help. It's grace. Amen? It's grace. Acts 10:38. Now I'm going to give you three, four probably truths that we need to know in order to be secure. Now, verse 38 of Acts 10. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, notice, and keep this in your mind and heart forever. Sickness, disease, never comes from God. Ever, for any reason. Ever. Jesus went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed by who? The devil. The devil is the originator of the disease and the sickness. He is the enemy. Disease, sickness is the enemy. Never. Ever, ever does God originate, allow, or any other doctrine you want to incorporate in your thinking, sickness or disease in any of his children. How many are parents? Well, Michael, when was the last time you put the sickness and disease on Nick? Mm-hmm. Oh, you must be wanting to teach him something. Mm-hmm. Huh? No. If that were the case, when our children get sick, why would we try to get them well? Certainly, if it was the will of God, it'd be a sin to try to get him healed, wouldn't it? Because it'd be getting out of the will of God. Never. Ever. That's important to know to stay healthy. Because the devil will use that lie to get in on you. That's a lie. Why would Jesus go to the cross and take the sickness and disease if it was the will of God? The Father. No way. Do you have this? Amen? Do not allow the enemy or anybody around you to try to tell. Don't get rid of Job's friends. Oh, that's happening because you must have sinned somewhere. Wrong. Beep. No. Okay? We got that straight? Everybody got that straight? You see, you cannot stand in faith or receive from God anything you do not believe it's His will to give you. If I don't, here's what I'm going to try to do. Michael, what can I do to get you to give me $1 million? Well, first you'd have to have it. But aside from that, if I didn't know it was His will to give me healing, then I have to figure out a way to change your mind. That's law. I have to do this to get God to do something I'm not sure He wants to do. Whoa! Something's wrong here. Amen? Are you seeing something here? It doesn't make sense. Well, guess what? Jesus is the will of God. Where is Jesus in the book? In the book. Can I give you one thing that is absolutely so simple that it's so hard to miss in the book? In everything, not because of everything, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. People come, they say, pray, I want to know the will of God in a situation or whatever. Give Him thanks. Listen, whatever you're dealing with this week, see, I know you're dealing with something because Jesus said in the world you'll have tribulation. See, we think the Christians have their own special brand of suffering. No, we're in this stinking curse-ridden world. And when there's a recession on, it tries to make us part of it. It's the same for everybody, only it's smushing people. It's whacking them down. People in the world are getting beat up. Yeah, they're getting beat up. So in the world, you'll have tribulation. So it isn't like there's this special thing for Christians only. No, a hurricane is a hurricane, and it wipes out as many as it can, only can't touch us. The hurricanes went through Orlando. I didn't have a shingle off my house. Not a shingle. And all them blue things around all the houses in the neighborhood. Why? The grace of God. I didn't do a thing to earn that. Anytime that you if something happens, you go, Lord, why did this happen to me? You know what you're saying to God? I did everything I was supposed to. I'm the righteous one and you're not. Mm-hmm. Maybe another time I'll do the whole thing of how God dealt with me about don't speak wrongly of me. Let me throw this in, you'll like it. At the end of Job, Job's friends come and they want to give an offering to the Lord. The Lord said to them, no way, I'm not taking it. Well, why not? Because you spoke wrongly of me. Now you go to Job, you give it to him, he offers it to me, because he has not spoke wrongly of me, I'll receive it. See, you can't, Malachi says the same thing. You can't give tithes and offerings and speak wrongly of God and expect the benefit of it. You'll negate it with your own unbelief. There are saints of God who tithe faithfully and don't get anywhere near the benefit that God has for them. And that's one reason. That's for somebody here. Grab it, get a hold of it, understand it, because you got a lot of seed in the ground that you deserve harvest. Amen?
Amen.
And you need to get it.
Yeah.
Don't speak wrongly of the Lord. Say, well, how would I ask him? If I spoke wrongly of you, he'll tell you. He'll straighten you right out. He'd love to do that. He don't mind correcting you so you can get your harvest. Amen? Proverbs says, he who hates correction is a fool. All right. We understand this then, don't we? Where the source of the problem is, God is never the problem for any reason. No, he's not trying to break you. God is not trying to teach you. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. And the Holy Spirit teaches us what? The Word. That's it. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Turn with me to Matthew. I want to cover a couple of more points. Matthew 8. Verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, there's a lot of things to get out of anything in the Word, but get this. Forever in this Word, Jesus has established for everyone, he is willing that you be healed, and he is willing to heal you. He's willing that you receive. Amen? Now, get this with the willing. It is take delight in. It carries the idea of being ready, preferring, having in mind. The New Testament word in the Greek is bulimē, a stronger expression of the will, signifying the determinate will deliberately exercised. Once you establish what the will of God, he is more than ready. It isn't you ever have to convince him. It's his idea.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So you must secondly understand it's always his will that you be healed. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are. Well, how could that be? No one that he healed was without fault. No one. Certainly when he healed them all, there had to be one person in sin. No, they were a mess. Amen?
Yes, they were.
He is willing. He doesn't deal with us according to how good we are. He deals with us according to how good he is.
Yes, he does.
It comes from his heart. The heart of God. I don't want you in pain. I don't want you sick. I don't want you suffering. You know, Jesus said, if we as parents, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father know to give us gifts? And yet, we speak wrongly of Him because we think that we as parents were better than Him. And you say, well, how do I speak wrongly of God? The moment that you accuse the Father of giving you anything but a good gift, you speak wrongly of Him. And I don't care how they put, how they phrase it. You can say He allowed it. You can say He had to do it. No. No, no, no. No. Now, I have many, many people get angry. They go walking up. But I say, don't mess with me then, because I like where I'm at. You follow what I'm saying? People come and try to convince me otherwise. That is a losing battle, because I have the Scripture. They have nothing. They have their own opinion. They have their own mind. They have doctrine from somewhere. They've got tradition of man. They've got whatever their family did. I've got the Word. Now, if I ever tell you anything that is not in that Word written, believe it. Don't believe me. I'm wrong. But Jesus said, I am willing. Now, these, who's in here? Jesus is in the book. And Jesus just established this. Like I was willing to heal the leopard. Leopard. She don't like when I do that. Leper. I'm willing to heal you. You see, that's all I need. It's written.
It is written.
It's in red. Jesus said it. People come in, would you pray so that God would be willing to heal me? That's the actual prayer request. Man, we don't have to pray that. I'll just tell you now, He is. Well, how can you say that? Matthew chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3. Well, I don't really believe that. Here, take my Bible with you. I'm going to lunch. I'm not going to argue about it. I just let the Word do it. Go argue with this. Amen? We don't have to get into these discussions with people. Just give them the Word and say, argue with it for a while. They'll never win. They will never win. You cannot win when it comes to the Word. Why? Doesn't matter whether the world is full of unbelief. This is true. It doesn't matter how much people say, I don't believe it, I don't believe it, I don't believe it. This is still true. And it will work everything exactly as it says in here. So give me scripture for that. Romans chapter 2. Will your unbelief make the word of God untrue? No. It's not untrue. Your unbelief cannot make it untrue. It's still true. Well, how'd you learn that? I read that. I read that in here because, you know, Jesus is in the book. And Jesus always tells the truth. Sometimes I laugh because sometimes Jesus has to say it twice. Truly, truly, verily, verily. What that means is, believe me, believe me. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, who has to say twice, believe me, and then He tells you. And this is important because in the next portion of Scripture, go to Mark 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Now, He could do no mighty works there, except that He laid hands on a few sick people and healed. Now, where was it He couldn't do it? He went to His hometown, Nazareth. He went back home. Is this not Joseph's son? Did we not see him hammering boards and nails when he was 12? And the verse says, verse 6, he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in the circuit teaching. The only thing that can negate the power of God in your life is only one thing, unbelief. Now, unbelief oftentimes is not what we think it is. What it actually means is, it's not non-belief. It's not disbelief. It's unbelief. You're believing something. Everyone believes something. You're believing something other than the Word. You're believing what you see. You're believing what you feel. You're believing what someone says. That's unbelief. The biblical definition. When Jesus said, believe only. The Spirit of God in here said to me, put a me on that. Believe only me. And Jesus was speaking. Only believe me. And Jesus was speaking. Only believe me. The children of Israel spent 40 years in the desert because they didn't believe. That's the reason. And we see, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, that we see they did not enter the promised land. And us, we enter the land of rest. Those who have believed do enter the rest. I pray that as you go, that those of you who haven't entered into all the rest that God has for you, as you go, you realize I'm entering into all the rest. That I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I don't have to do something more. I don't have to be good enough. I don't have to do all this. It says, you cease from your works. What works are those? The works that you work to try to be blessed. We're already blessed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, heavenly places. Amen? So unbelief. Belief is the verb for the noun faith. Faith is the noun, belief is the verb. I believe. Amen? Now, right here, I need to get to this. I want you to turn to Matthew 14:14. Got a couple more scriptures. Word of God is so good. Matthew 14, verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with what? Compassion for them and healed their sick. Now, compassion is the verb for the noun mercy. Mercy is what produces the compassion. And that is the primary motivation of God. Mercy. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Mercy. He provided salvation from us when we couldn't get out of our trespasses and sin. We were in the slave market of Satan, being bought and sold like property. And because of his the riches of his mercy, it says in Ephesians, he saved us. Now let me share this with you and get a handle on this. Mercy, well, let me back up one step. Noah Webster wrote the first English dictionary. And the reason why he wrote it is because he was Christian, and he wrote the English dictionary, the American English dictionary, so we would better understand the Bible. That's the whole reason why we have a dictionary, a Webster dictionary. And he did it in 1828. And I have an 1828 dictionary. It's the only one that I use. I don't look at the abridged modern version. I use that one. There's actual scriptures in there to give definition and usage. He says this for the definition of mercy. There isn't even an English word to describe it. He gives his best definition, but he ends it by going, there isn't even an English word to describe the mercy of God and what that is. However, there's Hebrew, there's Greek, there's all of it. And so, I came to realize this. Mercy's different than grace. Because mercy does one thing, and if I can communicate this to you, this truth, it will change your life. Because I'm going to show you where the enemy gets the hook on us. See, where he puts a hook in there. Okay? Mercy is, let me read a little bit here. It's an active desire to remove the cause of distress in others. It was the mercy of God that removed the sin, because sin was the cause. And God said, I'm going to fix it out of my mercy. What we deserved was nothing. What we deserved was punishment. See, when a person throws their self on the mercy of the court, they're guilty. And they're saying, don't punish me to the extent that I deserve to be punished. Give me a break. Don't send me to jail for life. Now here we are, and we deserve the full punishment, which is death. God only has one remedy where the law is concerned. If you break it, death. That's separation from everything. But his mercy, he comes and says, not only am I not going to punish you, I'm going to take away the root of the problem. I'm going to do it. I'm going to remove the sin problem between you and I. It'll never bother us again. And by doing that, I'm going to make you right with me. Because God won't fellowship down. He brought us up and said, now we can talk. You're just like Jesus to me. See, mercy. Now, watch this. The devil will come in, and we know we're forgiven. How many know you're forgiven all your sin? Glory to God. And we're forgiven all the sin. However, the devil will come in and say, well, you know the mistake you made? You got to pay the consequences for that. Yeah, you're forgiven. Sure. But you made a mistake with your health. Therefore, you can't be healed yet. Anybody ever up against that? Hey, I'm not sharing anything with you that hasn't been worked in and through me. That's what happened to me. I've lost 1,000 pounds in my life. I'm serious. Ask her. I fasted for 90 days. And it still didn't work. Drinking them things every day. Those shaky things. And then finally I got to a point, all right, I got up to 309 pounds. Dieting. Oh, you know what's wrong? Diets don't work. It's the law. And the more law you take, the worse you get. Here I've been, I was teaching it, going over it, teaching people, and what did I lack? Wisdom. To take that and apply it to this. And finally one day, I went to the Lord and said, Lord, I mean, I was like the lady with the issue of blood. I tried everything. And finally I went to the Lord and said, Lord, you gotta help me with this. Oh, okay, about time. So I'm continuing to lose, but it's way easier. And I'm nowhere near what I was. In another 5 or 6 months, you're going to say, who are you? Because diet, no. Throw it out. Grace. 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 Where did I get this grace? In the book. In the book. In the book. Because in Jesus is the grace. And this is Jesus. And what the devil does is he comes in and says, oh, well, wait a minute. You know, you made this mistake. You did this. You did that. You had a red light and you got in an accident and this and that. So you're not eligible to get healed. Yeah. You're forgiven, but you made your bed. You better lie in it. After all, there are consequences to sin. Yes, there are. Except God took care of it. It's not only the forgiveness of the sin. It's the mercy of God will take the root out and fix the problem. One day the Lord said to me, John, you make one mistake, you think that's going to stop the will of God? My will from being done in your life? Well, I must have, because he asked me. See, sometimes we think things we don't realize we're thinking. Amen? That's why we need the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We need him. He's the helper, the counselor, the teacher. Amen? Now, what I've gone over, those that need healing, usually, you've been trying to receive it. And it ain't been happening. You got anybody like that? See, that you know. What's the problem? Well, there's three things we know of. One, you got to know it's the will of God. Number two, you got to know where it's coming from. And number three, you've got to know that mercy, last verse, last scripture. If you have a Bible, mark this one down. Philippians chapter 2. Because I have people sometimes say, well, you know, that was Jesus. Well, Philippians chapter 2 is after he was resurrected from the dead in heaven, seated at the Father with him. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to verse 25. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost to death. This guy was working for Jesus. Why do you think, first of all, did he get sick? Who's the source of this stuff. Enemy. What was he doing? Trying to stop the word from going forth. But look at this. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. The mercy of God not only healed him, the mercy of God said, Paul, I'm not letting you go through this sorrow of losing him. We can't even begin to fully comprehend God's mercy. But I will tell you this, first and foremost, to receive a healing and keep it, receive the mercy of God for you. Let yourself off the hook. Quit beating yourself up. Quit thinking you did something wrong. Epaphroditus do anything wrong? No. He's working for Jesus, ministering, going on his way there to pastor. Receive the mercy of God. So important to receive it. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. One point, my heart rate went up to 200 for like 5 hours a few years ago. Hospital, they're running around trying to do things. Didn't know, couldn't get it down, whatever. And I said this in the fifth hour, Lord, I'm relying on your mercy. 30 seconds, it was normal. I didn't go through the steps. I didn't go through the formula. I certainly didn't ask him why. And I certainly didn't go through my resume. I ministered to you 30 years and we started church and we did this. God. Lord, your mercy is enough. I receive it. They came in. It's normal. We don't know why. Okay. I don't care why. I care that it's normal. I don't go back to God and say, why did that happen, Lord? One thing the Lord told me years ago, I tell you what you need to know, not what you think you need to know. It's good with me, Lord. There are many ways that God heals. That's why it's so important, the Word of God. And I could be here every night for a week and show you a different way that God heals. Gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of healing. The Word of God. All kind, laying on of hands. All different ways that He heals. That's how badly He wants us well. Sometimes I think, and maybe it's so, He wants us well a lot of times more than we want to be well. I was in Kentucky, and I was ministering at Methodist Church. The pastor and I had known each other for years. He called me, said, I was driving back from Pennsylvania, and he said, could you swing by? I said, what? From here? That swing by was 650 miles. I said, well, for you, I'll swing by. He said, well, I got a group of people here, and they all need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you need to come. So I came, and we had the meeting. It was 25-ish people there, somewhere in that neighborhood, and every one of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit in this Methodist church. God doesn't care about the name on the sign. Doesn't mean anything to him. Somebody said one time, the denominational sign's going to fall off on the way or burn off on the way down. God so loved the world. Amen. Well, the reason I bring that up is one of the men in the church, I was scheduling to leave on Friday morning, and one of them went to the pastor and said, my grandson needs healing and so forth and so on. Could you get me to drive to the daughter-in-law's house, pray for him? So I felt it was the Lord wanted to do that. And I said, look, I'll not leave in the morning. I'll leave in the afternoon because I was driving. And I said, I'll drive out there. Well, this is Kentucky. Okay. I thought Florida had places. This made Everglades look like it was a metropolis. We drove and we drove and it was dirt road and dirt road. I mean, the church itself was out there far enough. This boy begged me to come. So we get there and I drive in. And this was the grandfather. He goes in, he gets the daughter-in-law. And I can see she was standing outside and they were having a very animated conversation. And I thought, uh-oh. Because I asked him this question before we went. Have you talked to her? Have you cleared it with her? Does she want her son healed? Now, unbelievable. He comes back to the car, because we're still in the car, the pastor and myself. And he says, she says, could we come back in 2 weeks? Well, she's aware. She was getting disability money for the boy. And she didn't want him healed. She would lose the money. Now, why do I bring that up? I can't tell you the number of people that in their heart they fully don't want the healing because they're getting money somehow. Or they're getting disability payments for the government or whatever. And I'll lose that. Yuck. To allow mammon money to control you that way. You know, Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. You'll love the one and hate the other. Now, I don't want to be too heavy on you tonight with this, but it's always strange to me how people come say, I love God. I love God. I love God. And yet they're letting mammon make the decisions for them. Well, you see, who's in here? In the book, Jesus. And in red, Jesus spoke the truth. So no matter how much the person deceives themselves that they love God and they let mammon call the shots, okay? They love the mammon and they hate God. I submit this to you. They're better off knowing that than where they are. Jesus said, if the light that's in you is darkness, in other words, well, you think you've got it. I've got the truth. How great is that darkness? Now, what's going on? What's going on? Now, here's the bottom line to that. It's not, see, they're saying I love God because they're trying to get something from God by saying I love you, I love you, I love you. It's how much he loves us. There is none of us sitting here that can love God to the degree that it requires so that it's absolute. The moment that I have one selfish thought, the moment I do one thing other than what the Lord has told me, I'm toast. Paul said it this way, the way you walk in love is to walk in the Spirit. Just follow the Spirit of God, and He will lead you into the best places. You don't get up in the morning going, I got to love God today, I got to love God. You don't try as hard as you possibly can to love Him because it isn't even in us. Amen? You know what to focus on? He loves me. He loves me. They could not kill John the Apostle because he knew how much God loved him. They boiled him in oil. They couldn't kill him. They had to send him to the island. He was on the island living good. They don't even send food and water. He had Polycarp with him. He had a condo on the beach with a window. And they had all the food and everything they needed. And he got the book of Revelation in 18 months. He went back to Ephesus to assume being bishop over the churches in Ephesus. And he's the one who said, I'm the one that he loves. One morning, the Lord said to me years ago, I want you to say this every day. I'm the one that you love. Could you say that right now? Jesus, I'm the one that you love. Again.
Jesus, I'm the one that you love.
One more time.
Jesus, I'm the one that you love.
Give me a fourth time.
Jesus, I'm the one that you love.
You can't say it enough. Now, if I could have you know that you know that you know that Jesus loves you, and you're the one that he loves, you get healed from anything. Remember Paul? He had a big long list of stuff that happened to him. Tribulation, this, that, beatings, blah, 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 all of that. And he says at the end, but nothing separates me from the love of God. See? Number one attack of the enemy. He tries to convince you that God doesn't love you. He does a nasty, and he comes in behind that, and he don't love you anymore. He's all upset with you. I got news for you. Here's the thing the Lord told me. Son, you never disappoint me. Well, Lord, I think I have. Did you hear what I said? You never disappoint me. Why? I'm in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. And the only thing that can take you out of being in Christ Jesus is unbelief. And unbelief manifests this way. I got to do something to get something from God that he has already given me. And you come right out of Christ Jesus, and now you're out there naked. What do I mean by that? Not in the righteousness of Jesus. And Paul said it this way, you who tries to be justified by the works of the law, Jesus has become of no effect to you. You have fallen from grace. I read that, and I said, no way am I going there. Lord, Holy Spirit, teach me, show me, let me know. Show me how it happens. Teach me. I don't want to be there. I don't want that. I don't want that. Show me, teach me. And he has over the years. How to recognize when we're doing that. Well, where did you learn most of it? In the book. Jesus healed all of them, and not one of them received because of how good they were. My goal tonight, freely receive it. Who needs healing? Anybody? Okay, stand. Please. You know that Jesus has already done it. Amen. He paid for your healing. Amen? He paid for it. It cost you nothing. Okay? What you're doing is you're receiving. That's it. How do I receive? I receive everything I receive from God, I believe. That's how I receive. Well, how do I receive from God? Believe only. Believe only who? Him. God. Jesus took your infirmity. He took your disease. He took your grief and your sorrow into his body on the cross and gave you his health. Gave you healing, restoration. Gave you. Why? Would you say this with me? I'm the one that he loves. I'm the one that he loves. That's why. Amen? Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you come up because I want prayer specifically. Priscilla, you're going to be over that side. I don't think we need it. Now, before you come,